This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, March 23rd, 2025. Enough. Not enough time. Given by John Gossman.
Hello? There we go. All right. Good morning, Connection Church. My name is John Gossman, and I just want to let you know that I was very honored and blessed that Carrie and Alan asked me to deliver the message this morning while they're away on vacation or relaxing, whatever they're doing, wherever you guys are. Hope you're resting, and thank you very much. Before we go into this service, let's just bow our heads real quick. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, may the words of my heart and mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you in your sight, O Lord. O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen? So to recap what's been going on, you've been doing a sermon series on what's called Enough. The first one was God is Enough, and then it was I've Had Enough. And then last week, Carrie and Alan preached on I Can't Get Enough. And today, it's Not Enough Time. So have you ever felt like there's just not enough time in a day? You just never have enough time? Or is it just me? Nah, you guys probably have everything under control because you always look like your time management skills are top-notch. I got to tell you about a dream I had recently. I was in heaven, and I was walking around, and there was all these buildings that looked like UD campus, all these brick buildings everywhere, and then one white building up. And God said, I came up, and I didn't know where I was, and I saw this guy, and it was St. Peter. He said, hey, John, how you doing? I said, man, I am doing great. Where am I? And he says, you're in heaven. And I go, you mean I died? He goes, no, you didn't die yet, but I just figured we'd give you a little glimpse of what heaven's like. I said, oh, that's cool. I said, this is a really cool place. And then he says, come on in with me. I'll give you a little tour. So we went into this one building, and you know, there was clocks everywhere up on the wall. You remember when you were in high school or junior high school or elementary? Well, now they have digital clocks. But when I was in school, they had these big round clocks, right, over every door or in the classroom somewhere, in the hallways. Well, I was looking around, and there's all these clocks everywhere, and they had no numbers, just one hand. I'm looking, and look, there's one that's got names underneath it. It says Dave Ely. And then I looked over here, and there's my daughter, Rebecca, and there's one that says Sarah and Cody and Elliot, and there's one for my grandson, Will. Little Will, he hadn't had a big clock, And I'm looking around, and I said, well, so, and it clicked. There goes Dave Ely's clock. And I'm looking a little closer, click. There was Sarah's clock. I said, hey, Peter, what's the deal with these clocks? He said, oh, they're the sin clocks. Every time somebody on earth sins, click, it goes off. And I looked, and I said, oh, man, I'm starting to get a little nervous now. I'm looking for mine. So I see my wife's clock over there. I said, okay, the whole family's here, my friends. And I see Nancy's and Jeff's and her whole family. Click. And I said, And there goes Dave Ely's clock again. Click. I said, man, I still don't find mine. I said, Peter, where's my clock? He goes, oh, your clock's in God's office. I said, man, I must be doing really, really good down there on earth. So I said, well, can I see it? And he goes, sure, come on. He goes, I'll show you where to go. He goes, you go down the street, you see the big white building. Now this building looked kind of like the White House, these big white pillars. He said, go in there, go through the front doors, up the steps. His office is right at the top of the steps. I said, cool. So I go trucking over there. I go in, open the door, walk up the top of the steps. God says, come on in, John, or something like that. So I walk in, and I'm expecting to see my clock, right in front of him, right in front of the desk, where he can see me all the time. And I said, I'm looking around, hey, God, how are you doing? I said, look, I was just, St. Peter told me that my clock is in here, and I don't see it anywhere. He goes, oh, yeah, I'm using yours as a ceiling fan. There's just not enough time. So when my daughters were young, they were very much involved in many, many extracurricular activities, Girl Scouts, softball, horseback riding, karate, piano lessons, Odyssey of the Mind, youth group, marching band, and I'm probably missing a gazillion other things. You all know what I'm talking about, to have kids, right? And you're running all over the place. And not only that, their school was 37 miles away from our house by our choice, but it was still 37 miles away from our house. And when I still don't know to this day, looking back, how my wife and I managed to get them where they needed to be, two separate places a lot of times, while we were still working full time. I just still blows my mind how we did it. And I really don't know how we did it. But I was never so happy and anxious at the very same time as the day that my daughter Rebecca got her driver's license. Huge help, right? But I was nervous, so I gave her the keys. I said, "Babe, there's the keys. Be safe. Thank you very much." And off I went. Man, what a huge time saver that was. Just can't even begin to tell you how much that helped. But we all have busy schedules, right? And I'm a retired critical care pediatric flight nurse, and I can clearly remember when I was working, it seemed like there was never enough time in a day to do everything that we needed to do. And as we all work through our careers, we hear that word work-life balance, right? Well, to me, that's an oxymoron. At the time, work and life was okay. It was the balance part. They just did not go together, especially with what we did. The two things just never seemed to fit together. But when I moved into management position, I was managing a team of high-thinking critical care pediatric flight nurses, respiratory therapists, and EMTs, and unit clerks. And it was just, I really did try to focus on work-life balance, and I preached it all the time. And I really tried to be involved with everybody's life to make sure that they were getting the rest that they needed, because what we did, it was extremely stressful. Every child in real time had a real life illness, and we had to be on our game. There was no room for errors, or a kid could die. And that was the reality of what we did. And there was a lot of stress. Stress was high. And during COVID 2020, I had a lot of single moms on my team, and as you all probably are aware, we were locked in, our kids were locked in, but we were essential employees. We still had to come in and go get sick kids. And these moms were not only worried about the kids we were transporting, but they're worried about their kids at home, right? That's a lot of stress. And they just didn't have enough time to go to worry about everything. And then the majority of our team members had children of our own. So what we did really hit home to us. And the reality of it was that there were too many sick kids for us to transport all at the same time. So how to do that, we had to manage that. But I can tell you, none of my team, at the end of a three-day schedule, 12 hours a day, ever refused to transport if a kid's life was in danger. We all treated every child like they were our own. And the typical response was, okay, wheels up in 20 minutes, let's roll. Because that's what we did. There was just never enough time, it seemed, to do everything that we needed to do. And then you come home from work and you still have all that stuff to do, right? You got to take care of the house. You got to cut the grass. You got to make home repairs. You got to take the cars to the mechanics. Yeah, I have to stack wood, 7 cords every year, bring the wood in so that we stay warm. And we have the grocery shop. We got to walk the dogs. We have to pay bills, go to the regular doctor's appointments and dentist appointments all on time, visit our kids, try to spend some time with my wife, prepare for a worship service every Sunday morning, not necessarily all in that same order, and then try to look like everything's cool. I'm cool, calm, and collected. I got my act together, right? None of you ever felt like that, right? Because you all look very cool, calm, and collected from my perspective, right? But is that really how it is? No. So I retired in November of 2023. Great! Now I got all the time in the world, right? Wrong. You know, I always heard people say when they retired, they were busier than when they were working. And I said, not me. Yeah, right. Sure, not me. My schedule is busier now I think, than I've ever been. And I still don't have enough time to get everything done, even in retirement, because your schedule just gets filled up, right? So I want to tell you on a side note, what we do, my wife and I, we watch, just to backtrack a little bit, you know, everything's so busy. And in retirement, you know, the thing is, you get to do what you want to do and not be told or forced to do what somebody else tells you to do. Except when your wife says to do something, and that usually means right now. And my wife and I, we watch our grandchild, Will, and he's just a joy. He's been a joy to both of us, and he really fills our life up with joy, and just, we have so much fun with him. But Will is not on our time schedule. He's two. And so we take him for walks, and we do cleanup time, and we play with his toys, and we go to the big woods. And so Will's time, you know, we're like, okay, well, we got to go here. We got enough time to take him for a walk. And well, Will says like this, he goes, okay. Want to go for a walk? Okay. Let's clean up your toys. It's time to go. Okay. And he'll pick up his truck, and he'll go, let's put it in the toy box. And he's walking toward the toy box, and he goes, truck in the garage, pull out of the garage, door up, door down. No, let's put it in the toy box. Okay, I play with truck. No, we got to clean up. Then we go take a walk. We've got an airstrip across from our property in a big farm field. And he's walking, and sometimes he doesn't like to walk, so he just lays down. So, come on, let's go. And then he sees the bulldozer. Big yellow bulldozer. And he wants to, now he's in a hurry, because we got to catch up with him, put him on the bulldozer and take some pictures and do all that fun stuff. And then the best thing is potty training. Some of you guys know in my prayer group that we meet on Thursday mornings, I bring Will with me, and he's two, so he's learning to potty train. And so you take him in, he pulls his pants down, he does this okay, gets up on the pot, and he's doing something like this. Well, come on, you're going to go to the bathroom. Okay. You done? I'm done. He ain't done. So after several minutes of that goes by, you know, we take him off and say, okay, time to pull up your pants. Now, my daughter and my son-in-law, they taught him, you know, Rebecca and Elliot, put one thumb in, front and back, and pull it up, pull your pants up. I said, because they got to learn to do that. You can't be pulling their pants up all their life. So he reaches down, and he's got a little caboose back there. I don't know where he got it from, but he's got a little caboose. And he gets the pants right up about here, and he's got his underwear. What that? Let's pull your pants up. So he gets his pants up. Now we got to pull the jeans up or the sweatpants up over top of that. So he reaches down again. He gets them right to the caboose. He just can't get them up. Put it in the back and pull. And he gets, what that? He's always going to know what's that. But he is a total joy, but he's definitely not on our time schedule. Just too much. Then, how about when you're in a hurry to go somewhere and the red lights are not in sync? This happened to us just last night. We were coming back from the beach. It was a friend of ours, a party that we were going to, and we were coming home and light turns green. So you go and you look right ahead, the next light, red. You get up to that one, turns green. The next light you see turns red. Not one was in sync. Does that just drive you bananas? And then how about the person that does 10 miles an hour under the speed limit? Well, let me tell you something, a little bit about my personality, my type A personality. My daddy taught me when I was younger that, son, if you're on time for work, you're late. If you're 15 minutes early, you're on time. And if you're 30 minutes early for your work time, then you're early. It makes sense. You have time to sit and relax and cool down and chill. Well, so just know that about me. I hate to be late. do not want to be late. So I was coming for prayer two Thursdays ago. I pull out, and now I'm 35 minutes away from this church, all back roads. And I'm turning down this road, and I turn down this road, and here it is. The little short single-seat pickup truck, man driving it with a ball cap, and his dog looking out the window, doing 10 under. And I left plenty of time. I left plenty of time to be here even early because I didn't have my grandson, Will, that morning. Joyce was watching him. And so, okay, no worries. I got plenty of time. 10 miles an hour under the speed limit. Now, I'm realizing that, okay, I'm going to be really close now, so I'm getting worried. I said, well, I know up ahead I can make a right-hand turn and go down a road and then make a left, and I can get in front of him. Just as we cross over this intersection, a guy's pulling a boat out on a trailer, so we have to stop for that. And I don't think this person had ever backed a boat up in his life because he's in the road, crossways, forward, backward, forward, backward. Take a deep breath. I almost got out of the truck and said, let me do this for you. Just let me do this for you. Save us all a lot of time. Finally got it out on the road, and he's doing like 15 under. So I make my right-hand turn. I go down, make my left-hand turn. I said, yes, I'm going to get. And a school bus pulls in front of me with the red flashing lights. Oh, I get to the intersection where I was going to get in front of him. Phew. I see the boat go by. I see my man in a gray pickup truck go by, and I pull out behind them. Now I know that I'm going to be late for prayer time, and you know my stress meter, beep, 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 is right about here. So I get here, and I'm rushing. I get through the doors, and I say, good, I'm here. All I can do is come through those two doors, and I'm here, maybe 1 minute late, maybe two at the most. And here comes Alan down the hallway. Hey, John, got a minute? Yeah. Yes. Yes, I have a minute for you. Who can say no to Carrier Allen, right? It doesn't matter how busy you are, how stressed you are, how much time you don't have. I'm always going to make time. So I come through that door, I go right over there, and I sit down because after all, this is prayer time. I need to be in the right frame of mind, and I was not in the right frame of mind. And I was just on an Emmaus Men's Weekend, some of you might have heard of it, and a pastor told me, he said, he had us during prayer, he said, close your eyes, and this is what I want you to do, guys. I want you to breathe in the Spirit, and exhale praise. Do that with me. Everybody, close your eyes. Breathe in the Spirit, and exhale praise. And within a couple minutes, I was in the right frame of mind, and I could then begin to pray. But I had to get myself right first, right? And then there's the other side of the not enough time coin, right? Where you just never had enough time to spend with someone that you love that's no longer with us, either a friend or a family member, right? And you say to yourself, man, I just wish I'd have had a couple more days or a few more hours or maybe even just a few more minutes. I have. I remember back when I started my career, I was in the adult ICU. I was taking care of my two patients, you know, 25 drips and on a ventilator and suctioning and everything, you know, and my phone. Now, we didn't have texting then. It was just a phone, and it was, I can't answer that now. So I get my stuff ready, go take a short break, and I look at my phone. It was my dad. I said, okay, let me go back here in the break room real quick and say, hey, watch my two patients, because I don't know, there might be something wrong with them. So I go down. I call him up. Hey, Dad. What's up, Pop? He said, kind of like Will. Hey, how you doing, son? Pause. Was there something you needed, Dad? You know, I'm kind of at work and a little bit busy with my patients right now. He goes, oh, yeah, I guess you are at work, because he was retired. No. Is Mom okay? Yeah. Why'd you call me? I just wanted to hear your voice, son. And I didn't understand at the time, but now I do, because I have grown kids that are out of the house with their kids of their own and dogs of their own. And sometimes I just want to hear their voice. And even better, if I could see them face to face. And even the best is when I can get a hug from them, right? But sometimes there's just not enough time. And recently I was reading from my devotional from Chuck Swindoll just this week. It said, instead of Saturday being a change of pace day, it's become an opportunity to squeeze in a second job. And Sunday, a time for renewal and refreshment. You're smiling. Every time I officiate a funeral, I'm reminded of the things that really matter. Stuff that seems all-fired important yesterday loses its steam when you stand on a windswept hill surrounded by weather-beaten grave markers. At that moment, something within you cries, simplify. And then we have this was the scripture for that day that went with that verse. It says, better a little with the fear of the Lord than a great treasure with turmoil in it, right? Simplify. How do we just simplify? By the way, I always wanted to do this. You know, you go to a comedy show and they always got the stool with the water bottle in there. I said, I'm putting my water bottle on there. I'm just going to keep it there. And every once in a while, they take a swig. And now I can say I've done that. So where does God fit into all this, right? I've just been sharing a lot with it, and you guys can probably relate. So how does God fit into this? We're going to take a look at a couple quotes and then some scriptures. The first quote is from a fellow named John Mark Comer. He's a pastor and author of the book Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Some of you might have already heard about it. It's currently the number one bestseller on Amazon for Christian living. He says in this book, busyness is contrary to godliness. Busyness is contrary to godliness. And his thesis statement, which he takes from Dallas Willard, is that hurry is the biggest impediment to our spiritual health. Can we all agree with that? I just don't have time. I just don't have time right now to sit and do that Bible study. I just don't have time to read the scripture. I just don't have time. And by the way, there's going to be an entire message series coming in October here on the book, Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. So watch out for the details at a church near you, CCC. That should be a fun series. And what if we were to be a little more available and attentive? I ain't got no time for that because I'm too busy. No, we need to slow down. Corrie Ten Boom, another quote. Corrie says, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. I'm going to say that again. If the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. There's a lot of truth packed into that small statement now, isn't it? And let's take a look at what Jesus says from Colossians 3, verses 16 through 17. It says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Translation, pursue God's glory with your schedule and all that you do. Do you do that? I can't say that I've perfected that one at all. And then we have a verse, a scripture from Ephesians. And it says, be very careful then, however you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You see, the scriptures are full of then there. That's not a scripture, but it's so important. I said, put it up there because the scriptures are full of then therefores. It's because God first loved you, then therefore we should do this. Kind of like the Ten Commandments there. Now, God doesn't say, thou shalt not kill. He says, because I love you so much, then therefore you should not want to steal. You should not want to, and so forth. And that's kind of what this message is saying. It's saying, then therefore you'll not want to be foolish or unwise, and you will want to seek out my will for you in your life. You see the difference? when we make it about God and not about us. And then listen to the story. You all know it. It's about the Good Samaritan from Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. It said, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him, and they went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to the inn, to take care of him, and the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. You see, the road from Jericho to Jericho from Jerusalem is about 17 miles long, and it descends from approximately 2,500 feet above sea level down to about 800 feet below sea level. And the road's very rocky, and there's plenty of places where robbers can hide to attack defenseless travelers. Now, I don't know about you, and I'm just kind of thinking out loud. I don't know, maybe the priest was a little too busy to help this poor soul. He had to be at prayer, like me, right? I gotta get there. So he went around one side. And then there was the Levite, right? He's coming down, and did he stop? Nah, he's probably a little bit too busy too, because there was a teaching that he had to do of some sort. Now in this case, you know about the Jews and the Samaritans. I'm sure you've heard there was so much hatred for each other. As a matter of fact, the Jews viewed the Samaritans as half-breeds, both physically and spiritually. The Jews practiced open hostility toward the Samaritans, yet Jesus commended neither the religious leader nor the lay associate, but the hated foreigner. Jesus asserted that love knows no national boundaries. Love knows no national boundaries. And lastly, I just want to take a look at another story that we're all familiar with from Luke 10. It's a story of Jesus visiting the home of Mary and Martha. And as Jesus and the disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and she asked him, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Now, I don't know about you, but if we have company coming for Thanksgiving dinner or the Super Bowl, we're preparing for a month in advance. We're making sure everything is just perfect, that everything is clean, everything's in its right place. We've got plenty of food on the table. We got a big ping pong table that we convert into a food table, and it's from end to end, side to side, covered with food and snacks and goodies that anyone would be happy. But this is Jesus. Jesus was coming to Martha's house. I can say that I can honestly understand how she felt. She wanted things to be just perfect for when he arrived. Did I mention that Jesus was coming to her house? And then I always love this, I can just see Jesus, the next part of this. He says, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what's better, and what will not be taken away, and that will not be taken away from her." Wow, that's a pretty powerful statement right from Jesus' mouth, right? What's important was to take time for what? To listen to him. To listen to him. Sometimes it's so hard in our busyness that we can't even hear ourselves, much less the Word of God speaking to us, right? That takes us back to Pastor Comer's quote, "Busyness is contrary to godliness." And then finally, I want to share a story that about the thief on the cross. Talk about not enough time. But did he have enough time? You see, Jesus, when he was crucified at Calvary, the hill they called Golgotha, the place of the skull, and he was hanging on a cross, dying in pain. And there was a thief on the right and a thief on the left that had just a few minutes earlier been hurling insults at him. And one of the thieves on one of his sides, God lifted the scales from his eyes. And when he looked over at Jesus, he saw the Messiah for the first time with the tiniest seed of faith. God lifted those scales and he looked over and he saw Jesus. And he knew he was the Messiah. And he said to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus, while hanging on a cross, he couldn't breathe. Yet he still had enough compassion to look over at that thief with a father's love. While he was dying, taking his very last breath. And he said to him, "Truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." Amen? He didn't have enough time, but he had just that much. He didn't have time to prepare his house for Jesus. He didn't have time to repent for any of his sins. But he did have enough time to say, "You're the Savior of the world. And if you just find it in your heart to love me, just this much, just this much, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Do we have that much faith sometimes? Just that little itty bitty? So, what's it going to take? What's it going to take for you to make time for yourself so you can draw close to Jesus? What's it going to take for you to make time for your family? Your wife, your husband, your children, your fill in the blank. What's it going to take for you to make time for your friends or others at work? Or maybe somebody along the road to Jericho? Will you be the person that goes around on one side or the other? Or will you be the one to stop and tend to their need? And most importantly, what's it going to take for you to make time for Jesus before you run out of time, like that thief on the cross? After all, eternity with God, living in his presence, that's the end game. That's our goal, right? Amen? I'd like to wrap things up with a song that puts things, kind of this message, into a little bit of perspective. You wrote a letter and you signed your name. I read every word of it page by page. You said you'd be coming for me soon. Oh my God, I'll be ready for you. 'Cause I wanna run on greener pastures. I wanna dance on higher hills. I wanna drink from sweeter waters in the misty morning chill. And my soul is getting restless for the place where I belong. I can't wait to join the angels and sing my heaven song. Catch my breath. Well done, my child, enter in rest. As tears of joy roll down my cheek. Oh, it's beautiful beyond my wildest dream. 'Cause I wanna run. I wanna dance on higher hills. I wanna drink from sweeter water in the misty morning chill. And my soul is getting restless for the place where I belong. Oh, I can't wait to join the angels and sing. 'Cause I wanna run. You wrote a letter and you signed your name. I read every word of it page by page. You said you'd be coming for me soon. Oh my God, I'll be ready for you. You said you'd be coming for me soon. Oh my God, I'll be ready for you.
So as we prepare for the praise team to come back up, I want to leave you with a final message and a prayer. And there's a song by Zach Williams. I don't know if anybody knows of him, but you know, he kind of puts the song in perspective with Less Like Me, this title of that song. And when he says, "But even at my best, I must confess, I still need help to see the way you see. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped, somebody with a hand that I could have held. When I just can't see past myself, Lord, help me be one, two, three. A little more like mercy, a little more like grace, A little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace. A little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, as we leave this place, let us be a little more like you and less like me, less like us. Slow us from all the hurry, Lord. Keep us from the things that we think are important so that we can realize the things that you know are important. Help us to set for a spell. Draw close to you so that we can see others around us the same way you see them, like the way you saw the thief on the cross, as children of God. And all God's people said amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.